we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Brevard County, Florida. Cocoa, Florida, to be exact. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And it's our privilege to bring you this Refresh Radio program today. So this coming Sunday, I will be continuing my message on spiritual warfare, my series on spiritual warfare. Not like any time I've ever preached this content before. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. And we are making the preparations that are necessary so that we can go out and see people born again into the kingdom of God. We are looking to grow Merritt Assembly of God by plundering the kingdom of darkness. We are looking to see the lost come to Jesus. That is our goal. Our mission statement is to restore value spiritually and relationally. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that, we would love to see you Sunday morning, 10:30 for worship. We have 9:30 Sunday school, and then we have our regular Sunday night service at 6:30 this coming week. So hopefully you can come and be a part of that. Today we are going back to the Word of God. We're going to be discussing a lesser known figure in Abraham's life. And so I want to take you to Genesis 25. We're talking about the culture that Abraham had created in his life. We've spent much of this week talking about Sarai, who became Sarah, and also Hagar. So today we're going to be talking out of Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 1. So let me go ahead and begin reading in that passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 25, it says, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letushim, and Leuman, and the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried and Sarah his wife, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roy. And so I want to touch on this passage of Scripture. You see, when Isaac was conceived, the Old Testament describes that Sarah had been barren. She was 89 years old, and I don't know any 89-year-old women who are looking to get pregnant. She was 90 when she gave birth, and she had never had the ability to produce children. Abraham had the ability to produce children because we have seen that he and Hagar had conceived and given birth to Ishmael. But the New Testament describes that Abraham's body at this point in time, 99, was also now dead as far as function, as far as conceiving and conceiving children. He had lost his natural abilities. But one day God showed up at his door and said, Sarah, your wife is going to conceive and going to have a child. And Abraham, you are going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. And so what happened was God sent resurrection power into Sarah's body and into Abraham's body, and their bodies began to once again have abilities to produce life. They were life givers now. They were no longer just waiting for death to come. They were no longer just people who had made contributions to society in the past. Now they were making kingdom contributions that was going to result in a covenant people of God. Isaac was born, and he was going to be the child of the promise. He was going to be the child of the covenant. He was going to be the child that was blessed and gifted. It was everything stemmed around Isaac. But if you were to continue reading in Genesis, you would find that there came a time after Isaac had been born that Sarah died. Sarah died, and that was where he purchased the burial plot that ended up becoming the resting place for Abraham and Sarah. And you'd find it in Genesis chapter 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And so that was what had happened. And it says in verse number 19 of Genesis chapter 23, and after this, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as a property for a burial place. And so Sarah died at 127. That would have made Abraham 137 years old. And so he still had 38 years more of life left. He was going to live for another 38 years. And after Sarah died, Hagar and Ishmael had been sent away. And it says here in Genesis chapter 25 that Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And so he got married again. Now, when I was in Bible college, there were people who had not read this passage of scripture and got very, very disturbed when you started mentioning that Abraham got married after Sarah's death. Now, I want to tell you that I understand that. In fact, I was talking about this with someone recently, and they said there was a person who was on a Christian cruise, and many of the people who take Christian cruises are later in life, and this very profound speaker noticed this one couple, and you could tell that they were, even though they were later in life, they were newlyweds. And this person asked about, did Abraham miss God? Did he, you know, what happened here? And And he said, well, if I'm not mistaken, you know, from what I've seen, you two are probably on your honeymoon. Is that correct? And he said, yes. And he said, how could you tell? And he said, well, you know, I could just tell because of the way that you are discovering your new spouse there. You know, you're acting very much like people who are newly in love. And he said, yes, we are. And he said, let me ask you, did you make a mistake when you married your wife? And he said, absolutely not. Why do you ask? And he said, because the very reason that you got married to your new spouse is the same reason that Abraham got married to his new spouse in Keturah. You see, people like relationship. We are relational beings. We're relational creatures. And Abraham had another 4 decades. Now, I want you to know that I have more than 4 decades in my rearview mirror. It is unknown as to how many decades I have in my windshield, you know, how long I have to go. But I want you to know that not only did Abraham get married, but that resurrection power that had flowed through his body that led to the conception of the child of the covenant resulted in many more children coming into Abraham's household. He truly did become the father, not just of a couple of nations, but of many nations. He ended up having more children after Isaac was born than he had before Isaac was born. And so there was this other woman, and I want to take just a little bit of time today before we begin to talk about the different aspects and the different levels of relationship that Abraham had with his children. I want to talk to you about this other woman, this second wife that he had, this wife that came after Sarah, and her name was Keturah. Keturah. If she's having 6 children, there is a very high probability that she was on the much younger spectrum of things than what Sarah had been. She was probably a very young woman. She was probably an attractive woman. She obviously was with Abraham for quite some time. But what I want to mention to you is the meaning of her name. I couldn't find a meaning for the name of Hagar other than just a bondservant of Sarah. I couldn't find a meaning for her name. But the Bible says in the that this woman's name was Keturah. Now, when I looked that up in my Greek and Hebrew lexicon, it says this, that Keturah means the perfumed one. The perfumed one. And I can tell you, I like the cologne, the perfume that my wife wears. She likes the perfume, or not the perfume, but the cologne, the aftershave that I wear. And a perfume, when you enter the room as a perfumed one, there is an aroma that fills the air. It's something that it can drive out bad odors, and it can leave pleasant ones in their place. And you know, I'm going to touch on some stuff today, so I hope you don't get mad at me. I hope you just understand. I'm just here to try and help you to realize how important it is that you seek God. Nowhere does it say in this passage that Abraham heard from God that he was to marry Keturah. It doesn't say that he didn't, but it doesn't say that he did. It just said that he again took a wife. And today, if the only reason that you are seeking a relationship is because you are lonely, I want you to know that one of the great deceptions that the enemy uses is that because of gaps in your life or inadequacies in your life, that the devil will try and say, you know, if you were in a relationship with this person, they would make you happier than you are by yourself. A lot of times people are looking for relationships simply because they're lonely. And if that's the case, you are probably going to end up with problems in that relationship. Because, you know, I had this saying that I told my kids, sometimes the thing that you want, you find out later, is not the thing that you want. You might think you want that brand new car, and then all of a sudden you lose your job, and you look at that car at that point in time and you don't see it as a thing that you want. You see it as a liability, and you really wish that you were able to take that money out of those 72 or 60 or 84 easy car payments. You'd probably like to go buy some groceries with those funds. And so at that time you thought you had to have it, but then you come to realize, you know, I might not really want this car as much as I thought I did. So, you know, wanting a relationship, that is fine. I understand. When I was first in ministry, I was not married. And I came to, you know, I'd spent my whole life up until that point in time looking for someone to have a relationship with. I had been told that if you didn't get married by the time you were graduating Bible college, that you were destined to be single for Jesus. And so when I got done, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to embrace this new reality. And when I finally became content with who I was in God, then God brought somebody into my life that I could love and bless them, not looking for them to fill the holes in my life. Now, I want you to know I'm very, 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 very happily married. I love my wife, okay? But I didn't marry her because she was beautiful, even though she is beautiful. I didn't marry her because of, you know, I was lonely. I married her because God gave me a word that we were going to get married. God gave her a word we were going to get married. And I tell you that you need to hear from God. There's a lot of different philosophies. There are some Christians that don't believe that God has picked out a spouse for you, but I believe that God has someone picked out for you, that you are going to be a people of like faith. You're going to be a man and a woman of like faith. You are going to be of like passion. You are going to be of like life journey, and you are going to travel together. Now, I want you to know, even called by God, marital relationships are very difficult. And so you not only need God to bring that person into your life, but you need God to keep you mature. You need God to keep them mature. You need God to keep you both on the path of righteousness. And so I just want to challenge you that if you have not heard from God, be very cautious. Be very cautious if you're a young person and you're contemplating getting married for the first time. You want to make sure that you get that right. I've talked to people who hadn't got married as early as other people did, and they said, you know, I'd ask him, I said, so are you disappointed about not getting married yet? And he said, no, all of my friends that are my same age, almost all of them have been divorced already. And so what you've done is, you know, in your counsel and your wisdom, you've just saved me from my first failure. And so a lot of times, you know, we just need to wait for God's timing. Don't use loneliness and don't use, well, everybody else is doing it, as reasons to go and get that other relationship in your life, because I'm telling you that many times the older we get, the more set we become in our ways, and the more difficult, the more challenging it becomes. Now, if God tells you, I have brought this person in your life, and that first stage of your life was phenomenal, don't minimize it, don't despise it, but I'm getting ready to give you a booster stage in your life, and that the glory of your latter years is going to be better than the glory of your former years. In that case, run with it, embrace it. All I know is that it says that the name Keturah, the Greek lexicon or the Hebrew lexicon says that her name means the perfumed one. And a lot of times the enemy will use a scent. He will use something that you can't see. It just feels good. What is it that causes you to be attracted to another person? If it is not a word from God, I believe that there's a higher standard for it. Now, I realize that this may be one of the most controversial things that I've ever addressed on this program, but I want you to know that it really is important that you and I know what we are attracted to. Because a lot of pastors, and I'm going to put this in the real world, a lot of pastors and a lot of people in employment, they are attracted to other jobs because the other jobs pay better. They're attracted to other jobs because they are positions of higher influence. They're attracted to things because they appeal to the senses rather than a word from God that says, "Thus saith the Lord, walk ye in it." When I was in Chicago, I thought I was going to be at that church forever, and then I found out that I wasn't. And we spent 2 years in Tulsa, and we didn't think that that was going to be a situation that lasted forever, but it seemed like it was never going to end. And I just had lunch with the pastor that brought us to Texas, and he said, "I don't know if you remember the conversation, but we had a conversation about where you wanted to go eat, and we wanted to take you to dinner, and we said, pick someplace nice because we were really wanting to impress you." And to be honest with you, I can't remember where we ate dinner that night. I do know why they were in town, but they were looking to impress us. We thought we would be there forever, and we ended up coming to Florida. We served at a church in Florida and thought that we would be there forever. And then by the time we came to Merit Assembly of God, we thought, you know, God, in all of these places that we have been, we've thought we would be there forever. And so God, however long we're here, we just want to make sure that when we leave Merit Assembly of God, we leave it in better shape than it was when we got here. We want to make a difference. And you see, Merit Assembly of God had gone through a great number of pastors through the years. It had been a church in existence for 40 years before we got here, and there had been some long-term pastors, but for the most part, there had been short-term pastors, pastors that didn't stay very long. There was a 9-year pastor, a 13-year pastor, and a 5-year pastor. There had stayed for quite some time, but most had just cycled through, and they had come and they had pastored and they'd gone on looking for a better church. And here's what I decided. God, you're the one that opens doors for me. You're the one who picks the places, and you're the one that gives me my assignments. And God, I don't ever want to be one that goes to another church simply because there's more people. I don't want to go simply because there's more money or there's more prestige or there's more fame. God, there's only one reason that I want to go, and that is that you say that this is where you want me to now serve. And you know what? For 23 years, God has said, Merit Assembly of God is where I want you to serve. I'm very thankful for that. I'm not looking for another place to go. But I have said this. I wonder why people who are looking for a spiritual pastor would try and use the perfume of the senses to attract a person that they want to be the source of their spiritual food. Why would you try to allure somebody with a salary? Why would you try to impress them with your facilities? Why would you try and impress them with any of that stuff? You know what ought to be attractive to a pastor who's looking to serve in a church? How much do you pray? How many souls have you won to Jesus in the past year? Those are the type of things. If we're looking for a place where the kingdom of God is going to grow, we ought not be attracted by the scent of the perfume around us. We ought to be attracted by the will of God and the opportunity to serve with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Now, you are going to come into contact with some people, and their perfume is not a pleasant perfume, okay? Love them anyway. Love them anyway. All I want to talk to you today is for you and I to examine our heart. I'm not saying that, you know, if a relationship has come to an end, that you will never have another relationship. All I want to ask you is to take time and contemplate this. What is it that I'm attracted to? Now, I will give you this piece of advice, and that is, if you have recently experienced a loss in your life, that most counsel that I have heard and seen is this: don't make any major life decisions for a year. You need to allow yourself time to grieve. You need to allow yourself time to process, and you need to allow yourself time to figure out, okay, what is my next step? So now that I've talked about that, let me ask you this, because there are people who are listening all throughout the county. When you're looking for a church, what is it that attracts you? Is it the trappings? Is it the perfumes? Is it the lights? Is it the sound? Is it the music? What is it that attracts you? Is it the size of the crowd? Is it the ability to get lost? And if it's any of those things, I you know, praise God, glory, hallelujah. But I just have the question, is that really what you want your kids attracted to? I've always told my daughters, it's like, be careful what you're attracted to, because sometimes those muscular and really good looking and popular guys, they end up being unfaithful, abusive people, and people end up realizing that they are not everything on the inside that they appear to be on the outside. Be careful what you are attracted to. You know what the Bible says? It says, guard your heart. Now, I do want to pray for you at the end of this program today. I want to pray that God makes you productive up until that dying day that you have. I pray that you would not only be naturally productive, but you would be supernaturally productive. I pray that you would be effective for the kingdom of God until he says, your place is prepared. Come on home. So let's pray today. Father, I pray that you would help us to guard our hearts. Lord, that we would not be attracted by the temptations of the world or the scent of the world. Lord, that we would not be attracted by anything on a lower level. Lord, may we be attracted to people who have a heart for you. May we be attracted to that place that you have for us, that you say, this is the path. Walk ye in it. God, may we be attracted to people of faith, people who love to serve. God, may we be attracted to the things that attract your presence. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.